Welcome back to the Third Sister Podcast. I'm your host, Olive.
And I'm Susanna.
And today's episode is going to be a little bit different. I know that we always like to uplift and talk about like really positive things, but I think for this episode, we're going to be talking about business in a different perspective.
It is a little different because we started together and then went our separate ways, but like down to every single factor with my business, it's like the same thing. Like nothing really changed, just the industry changed a little bit.
I know. I think it's funny. We'll come together at the end of the day and we'll just like vent about our days and they're like, not the same struggles, yeah. But like the same.
The concept is the same.
Yeah. So for anyone who's new here, because we do have a lot of new people, me and Susanna started a bath and body business back in early 2020. I was 19 at the time. You were?
I was 20. I was 20, 21.
Pretty young.
21, yeah.
Yeah, to say the least, we were really young and we had no idea what we were getting ourselves into. I mean, I don't know if you can say the same, but for me, when we started this business, I did not think that it would be where it was today. I wasn't planning on it. I think if you looked at like my life and my schedule, that wasn't the plan.
When you flash a glimpse of, oh, what could it be? Like, what did you see? Like the highlight.
Honestly, when we first started, I think I really wanted to just be locally known. I wanted it to be like a little Fresno staple. Like there are a lot of businesses that are locally known. Mm-hmm. And I thought that we would be one of those. Like I knew that it would do well in a weird way, but I didn't think that it would be well on the scale that it is today. I thought, again, it would just be something mm-hmm. local. And I was fine with that at first.
My flash vision of what it would look like was I would want to be compared to Lush and like make a product equally as good as Lush. Mm-hmm. And that was like my goal. So quick timeline. It's January. We have the conversation. We have the idea with my mom. And it was like this idea. Again, like we never planned this. So it was just a conversation in January. COVID happened in March. So we took the time to research and test out and order and kind of do the experimenting of it. And we started selling a few things via Instagram, local delivery, like pickup. That's kind of what we were doing, just kind of hustling it. And it was fun. It was something to do during that COVID time. And then we kind of had the opportunity in the summer to kind of start looking into thinking holidays and thinking big and kind of saying, okay, well, how can we scale this? Again, none of it was planned. Like people think we had this huge idea to do this. It was not planned. So when I had that idea in like the conversation, brainstorming January time of the year, where I was like, I just want to be like locally known, high quality, just like Lush. Like I want to be a competitor to Lush. I want them to know us, or, you know,
right.
There's another store. There's a brand in Vegas called Nectar Bath Treats. And if you go into any Vegas mall or hotel, you'll see Nectar there. And it's like super cute. That's what I had envisioned for us, but just kind of with our own twist. And I mean, we surpassed it, but it's such a cool story.
I think when it came to like how you said, like, what were you seeing in your like future? I really wanted it, our company, to be like an experience and aesthetic, like how you mentioned Lush, like they have amazing products, but they also have this experience. Like, I don't know about you, but I grew up in like the bath bomb era in like 2014, where you would go to Lush and you would take a picture in the store, you would take a picture of your bag, and then maybe a few hours later, you would take a picture of your bath bomb in the tub. Mm-hmm. I wanted to create that experience, but like with a different outlook, because Lush has like a very certain vibe. So I didn't want to mimic it, but I just wanted that concept to be there.
Yeah.
And going into it locally, I was like, this is attainable. There are a lot of local businesses who do have this. And that was just really my goal in the beginning. And I can confidently say that I think I achieved that.
Okay. So let's talk about, without getting into all that little stuff, because that could be another episode, how we built the brand, like the company standard, mm-hmm. the brand value, the mission, and all that stuff. But when we had that, we fought so much during that January to like what?
It was October, yeah.
That whole year of like, this started with my mom, where yeah, it was COVID. And so we had nothing to do all day long. We had no school or work or anything. So if we were kind of bored and had nothing to do, and she would say, okay, well, work on the website or work on researching. And it's like, this dreadful chore that we had to do.
I totally forgot about that. Yeah. Now that you put that in my mind, that was like literally the early stages.
Thought about it.
No, I don't want to say like my resentment towards like the back end of the business. I was not all in, because again, paint the picture. At the time that we started this company, it's 2020, but it's before the pandemic. Okay, keep in mind, it was before the pandemic. So this was January. Lockdown officially didn't happen, or quarantine didn't happen, until March. So I know that you mentioned that we were like bored and stuff, but when we first started the company in January, we were not anticipating the lockdown. The lockdown was like a bitch to me.
What I mean is, we had school, we had to work, we had a social life, like we had other things happening. Yeah. So it was really hard to take that seriously, and to, you know, it's like, it'd be like a Wednesday evening. I'm talking like March, April. Mm-hmm. She'd be like, oh my God, you guys, like, work on the website, do some product photos, let's experiment this. And it was just like this horrible, horrible, like, home project that you were doing with your mom. And it was like, off, and we'd fight so much because I'm like, this is not up to standard. Like, I need to get a camera, I need to get a backdrop, I need to have professional.
Packaging was a huge thing. Wanted to invest in the best. And obviously that comes with money. And at that time, you're paying for everything out of pocket. And so it was just a lot of like.
Realize that it wasn't just the money aspect. It was, you need to buy 1,000 boxes for them to be under $1. No one sold you 10 units or 50 units. Everyone sold 1,000 units.
And it's that like uncomfortable stage where you don't want to buy 1,000 because you're like, what if I only sell 100?
Yeah, what do you do with 1,000?
And what I was saying was, at the time that all of this was happening, I was a nursing student and I was waiting to get into a nursing program. So I was like, oh crap, like, why did I start this? Like, mm-hmm. I want to go to nursing school. I want to be an aesthetic nurse. Like, that's what I want to do when I grow up. And so.
When you grow up in your 20s.
No, like, I mean, sorry, in my future. But when I was. In the middle of the pandemic, like, I was like, okay, this is a break. Everyone around me is taking a break. I was paying attention to everyone on social media, which was, you'll see, like, the downfall of me. But I was paying attention to everybody on social media, and I was like, okay, this is the pandemic. This is where we, like, do at-home workouts and try little viral stuff on TikTok, and we just relax. No, that was not my pandemic.
We were making that iced coffee.
No, I was. Like, I would sneak those little, like, bits of excitement into my day, but all day it was, like, work. Like, we would make products and then we would take the shittiest pictures at home, but like, it was what we had. Mm-hmm. We would work on the website, refresh it, do a bunch of advertising so we can get some sales. Like, it was not a legit business at the time, but it was in the baby process of being one. And that was where the guilt started to form, when you were not working on the business in your free time. I think the pandemic is where I didn't have that guilt naturally, but my mom would instill it on me. Like, if I chose to go out and do like a little trail walk for 3 hours,
watch TV
or watch a movie, my mom would be like, dang, you guys, like, you could have done this. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's true.
We had so many fights about like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, stop. I want to get rid of this. And I go, I don't want to get all into the details because I cannot remember. And also, it's just, we got to move on with this. But it got so bad to where you gave up your portion of the company.
No, I was kicked out.
You
guys kicked me out of the company.
Well, you voluntarily left, so we literally took her out of the company,
like the
legally with paperwork, to took her out of the corporation, just because it is a
S-corp.
It's an S-corp, and all three of us have a share in the company, divided, and you were CEO.
Yes.
So you were CEO of the company.
I'm CEO of the company, but at the time, I think we were registering all this stuff. And that was when you guys came to me and you were like, okay, are you in or are you out? Because this is your portion. This is your title. Are you going to keep it up and like put your work in, or are you going to leave? Because I remember the arguments leading up to it every single day was, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm going to go to nursing school. I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I do not want to deal with this. And it came to the day, I remember I cried. I bawled my eyes out because my mom and my sister came up to me and they were like, you're either in or you're out. We're filing the paperwork. Are you going to be in the business or are you not? And I was like, you guys can't kick me out. I remember I was so angry. I was like, we were probably like 5-6 months into it. I was like, you guys can't kick me out. Like, at this point, we had started to grow a little bit of a following on Instagram. And I was like, I put in so much work leading up to it. Like, if you guys take me out of the thing now, like, I'll be pissed. Mm-hmm. So I was like, no, put me back in there. I'm going to do this. Still a nursing student at the time. But I was like, no, I felt so like, I don't know. Part of me felt so angry about being written out of this like corporation. I was like, no, like, leave me in here. I know I'm a nursing student, but leave me in here. Like, I have plans for this company. Also, sorry, my bracelets are jingling. So if you hear that, that's, I talk with my hands.
So do I. Because you gotta talk like that.
Yeah, yours don't jingle as much.
No, I'm like pushing them back. They literally are jingling. Yeah. I'm just like trying not to do that. I talk with my hands a lot. But I can't imagine if it ended there. Because so many fights, not even like jokes, like, this is it, I'm done. get rid of everything, you know,
before it's too late. That was like our thing all the time.
It was like cut the lights, we're done, close it up, close the website. Like, we'd fight so much. And also, everyone, don't go to business with your family. Like, don't, because
for everyone, yeah,
like, authority doesn't rule knowledge or opinions or expertise and anything. So I really feel like we butt heads so much. And it was like, I was kind of so over it.
But I also think with families, everyone is too comfortable with each other. Like, it's normally when you're in a coworker setting, like, yeah, you hold back a little bit. But that's not happening in, like, a family situation. Like, you'll go off. I remember, like, I don't want to sound cliche, but I remember that day that I was crying about being written out of the company. I was like, in that moment, it hit me. I was like, okay, I could walk away, but something was keeping me here so bad. Like, I don't know why I was so upset over being, like, kicked out. And I feel like that was just, like, a part of me, like, the future me telling me, like, this has potential, don't leave.
So fast forward to, like, the struggles of just dealing with, like, the guilt. We didn't have office hours. We didn't, like, portion out this to be a project. It was like, if you want it bad enough, we need to work on this 24/7 and invest and put time and everything. So that was COVID summed up for us. It was so cute. It was January and plus. That was entire COVID. And my mom just had this, like, taste of, I don't know what it was, like, entrepreneurship, where she was just like, this is going to work. This is going to work. And I want to do this. So she had this absolute nuts idea to start looking into retail spaces. And we had a huge fight about that too, because the spot we had originally found, I mean, again, picture this, it's COVID. Businesses are shutting down. Everyone is leaving, abandoning. We're talking like September, August, September time. Nothing has opened back up. We've all been locked down, barely starting to transition back into, like, mm-hmm, going out in public.
Especially masks, in California.
Masks, social distancing, mm-hmm, all that is happening. And we had looked at to a retail space in a not so hot area. It was next door to Roxanne's Birkenstocks. It was not a hot area. It was abandoned, dead. Loved the space. Loved the layout. We could have done something so cool in there. I think it was like a hair and eyebrow threading place. It was a hair salon, I think, because it had a bowl. Yeah, yeah. It had a bowl in the middle of the room. It was beautiful layout. Needed a little work done. But essentially, my gut told me, I'm like, no one is going to come out here for us. Like, we're about to sign on to this lease. My mom was not a petty person. My mom was not, like, emotionally reactant. She was so mad. She didn't talk to us for a few days, like, because she was so pissed that we said no. Like, my dad was like, hey, well, you know, are we going to do it or not? And I was like, no. Like, I want it so bad. I had worked in retail. Like, I, mm-hmm, know how to run the retail game. And I wanted a store so bad. I wanted to set it up my way and run my operations and do all of that, like, so bad. But the area, there was nothing available. There was nothing available in our price point. Like, everything was over 3,000 square feet. We didn't need anything huge. We needed something in the 1,000. This one's, like, actually a little bit bigger. And, oh, it killed me. But I was like, I need to be smart. No. Like, no, this is not the one. This is a dead shopping center. We don't have a following enough to come all the way out here.
Right.
To us, you know, we need to be in a shopping center with something else. And my mom was so mad. It started another fight. I think she was also out. That was already, like, that is already stressful enough. I was so frustrated. We didn't fight about, like, not getting sales or, like, having slow days. It was purely our part and what we wanted to do and how much time we were putting in and, like, what's the next move. And it was mentally so exhausting. We'd fight, like, on a weekly basis.
I think you were, are you, like, butting heads about having that specific space, but do you remember I didn't want the store at all?
Yeah, you didn't want it at all.
I bought, like, I literally begged Susanna to, like, help, like, because I felt like it was me and you against my mom. I was like, can you please, like, get her to not want a store? Like, I do not want, because at the time I was working a retail job, which wasn't anything special, but I think I just liked my environment.
You were just,
I
loved, so comfortable with your,
and yeah, I loved my coworkers. I loved being able to go to my, like, quick little job and then come home and disconnect. I was in a relationship at the time, again, nursing student. Like, I really liked my life where it was. And I knew once I got the shop, I would be there 24/7. I knew that I would have to quit my job. I didn't know how my school plans would be in the future. I was begging Susanna. I was like, please be on my side. Tell her we don't need a store. And Susanna was like, I want one. Like, that would be fun. I wanted
it so bad, and it was not worth for me to keep your community college and your part-time job. It literally wasn't worth it to me. I was like, I want this so bad, but I kept my cool about the location. I said, no, like, let's pass. My dad was like, okay, we're passing, like, fine. And I something told me that something better is going to come along. And my mom was like, nope, nope, nothing. Everything's going to be out of our budget. It's going to be expensive. It's going to be like all this stuff. Where I was working at the time, I was driving home one day and we're in a big, nice, huge cross intersection off of the freeway. Huge Walmart, Ulta, Sephora, Home Goods, not Sephora, Home Goods, Dick's, like all the big name stores. I'm like, this is where you have to be, in a shopping center.
Where people are.
There was a available unit and we had called and I had told my mom and she kind of was like, okay, all right, worth giving the realtor. I thought she was like done. I thought she was like chapter closed, moved on, no store. Yeah. I don't want to send it for the next 3 years.
She said, if we don't get a store, I don't want to continue online. That's what she said.
Why though?
Because she wanted the store originally because she was like, this is Bath & Body. You want to smell, you want to feel. I think going to Vegas all the time and seeing that nectar shop really made her want it. And when you told her that space was a no, she was like, then I don't want to do this anymore, which was valid at the time because online was, you know, a little bit hard,
mm-hmm.
especially in a Bath & Body industry. But I think she was done with the idea when you said no to the store. So yeah. I think you bringing up another store, she was like, okay, like, let me put my foot back in the door.
So we had called a realtor, met with him. He showed it to us. It was a massage parlor with like 5 private rooms. It was a fixer-upper. They told us they would gut the whole thing and give us a fresh start. Fast forward, we got the store. It happened. And it was like a whole new level of stress of trying to, and she was really chill about it in the beginning. Like we had opened up a credit card, like literally maxed it out to fill the store in 3 weeks. Like that's from getting the keys to opening the store was 3 weeks, which is insane.
With no loan.
Yeah.
We literally maxed out all of our credit cards.
Yeah. And we bought our furniture displays and God, I regret so much from that because I did not look up furniture displays white and like go through my options. I did furniture display, the first sponsored ad, I clicked it, bought everything off of that. Next, our signage. Oh my God. I wanted a neon sign. We know that you learn as a business owner, like people say you learn. No, you learn that shopping centers have strict rules and curfews and obligations that you have to follow. And they would not allow us to put a neon sign. We had to match what everyone else used. So the company that I had reached out to that had done the neon signs couldn't do a neon sign for us. The center didn't allow us to do it. And I was like, holy fuck, I didn't give him my logo. He just typed it up in a random font.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just so like so ready to open, didn't think about it, bought it for $4,000. Slapped up and then I was like, oh my God, that's not our logo. It bothers me to this day that we spent $4,000. Do we still have it?
No, we threw it away because we ripped it out of the wall.
Okay, anyway, so like so many things I have regrets that we didn't take those baby steps. That was so stressful.
It opened up the door. Sorry, it opened up the door to so many fights in the beginning because I think me and you had this like grand vision. And then since we were funding it out of pocket, basically, it wasn't happening.
It wasn't the money.
The timing was not on our side. And I remember I knew once we like did something, I knew it was going to be hard to replace and change eventually. And I knew we would just get comfortable with it. I was not a fan of the store since day one. Physically, what it looked like, it wasn't what I had in my head. I think you feel the same way about that. Like
it's just like the timing and it was like we needed to experiment and it had to get done. And I kept thinking, you know, maybe once our lease is done and if this does grow and goes the right direction, then we can do everything right the second time around.
Yeah.
Location, the interiors, the operation side of everything. Like I wanted pink walls. We had like 3 options to pick from. We painted and I was like, fuck, this is not the pink I wanted. There's no natural light in here. There's no windows. Like everything
also in 2020, like it was like the flower sign neon wall. And then you look at it a year later, you're like, this is ugly.
To summarize, first, it was the stress of working up the business. Okay. Then when we had the store, we had the physical operation, making everything perfect the first time. Cause again, now you're like bringing people in and people are going to see and experience and all that stuff. The stress and pressure of trying to make it perfect. And one time around, like we had signed a 2-year lease at the time. And I kept telling myself, oh, you know, if we don't like the walls, let's just repaint it. If I don't like the furniture, I'll rebuy it. But I'm like, fuck no, you can't do that. It's 2 years. Like, it's not enough time for you to replace stuff. So that was already stressful. And then, God, then what was next? Like, the second year?
I think after the first year did pretty well. I think at some point, even it all circled back to that same stupid fight that we had in the beginning when we opened up, was leisure time. How is it spent?
Yeah, we never in had office store, hours.
Especially being like a new business, Bath and Body related, where we were, some days it would be a little bit slow in terms of like walk-ins or transactions. And so in that dead time, if you were not spending that dead time doing something for the business, it was like a fight. And my mom is not like, I don't want to make my mom seem like some the bickering villain in woman this. Right. Yeah. But my mom is very much like a go-getter. She, like, ever since I was a kid, you do not wake up past 9 a.m. Like, it's the day, get up, do something. Mm-hmm. Like, my mom is very much a hard worker, and that's how she raised me and Susanna. And so I think it was always, like, never sit around, do something.
My mom never let us have, like, we couldn't say we were bored. There's nothing to do. There's nothing to eat. Like, we could not complain. Because then it would turn this whole fight into a whole lecture, and then like, she would find us something to do.
Yeah.
And find us something to eat.
And you never wanted to do what she wanted. And oh my God, like, so random. Like, naps. Naps were not a thing.
Yeah.
You do not sleep in, even on the weekends, even in summer. Like, my mom is like that kind of woman. She's such a hard worker. And so imagine coming home from work and you were at the store for, say, 10 hours and you had a few walk-ins. Well, what'd you do when there was no one in there? Oh, I don't know. Like, I just like watched a TV show on my laptop, or I just like
packed a couple orders.
And then that's like
right online
then
and shopped. There.
Those arguments would lead to me like literally wanting nothing to do with this, because I was like, I'm not gonna sit here and get bitched at all day. Like, and when it came to the business, it was not a mother-daughter relationship, it was more coworker based. And I think she understood that, because like things were said and shit was done, and I was just like, oh my God, like I cannot take this.
I just realized that we'd make the products, they would make the products, we'd take everything to the store, we'd stock the shelves, we'd sell it, wrap it up, ship all in orders from, at the time, it was 10 to 7 p.m. 10 to 7. Yeah. We'd come home and we'd have to make the products then. Mm-hmm. And it was this fight, guilt trip thing. Like, we got to make the products. We could have fixed the system. We could have done things to make it more efficient. And, like, if one of us had stayed home or whatever. It wasn't efficient. It wasn't, like, another regret where we could have done things differently. But we just fought so much. And I resented the company so much because I wasn't making the products. I wanted to be doing the email marketing and the promotions and like scaling it and having this audience, but we didn't have that at the time. We had a few thousand people, but it wasn't like nowhere it is today. So for me, it was hard to get into it when it was nothing's happening. I was personalizing packaging and doing all this stuff. And you guys are like, well, we don't need packaging. People just come in and buy it, and it's not at that scale where we can order 1,000 units.
I think the scaling was a huge issue. I think we both had big dreams and ambitions, but we didn't have the market, the audience, the profit,
the need for it,
the profits, nothing. And
that's why I got turned off. I was kind of done.
Yeah, there was so many days that like we would come home and Susanna would tell me when her lease is over, like, I want nothing to do with this company. And I was like, I hate to say this, but I don't want to be that person who cares what everyone thinks. But at the same time, my number one thought, and I wish it wasn't like this, my number one thought was, if I end this company now, I'm going to look like a failure.
Yeah.
I put everything into my business. I've branded myself as like, this is my business. What's going to happen if I one day close it? Everyone's going to know I'm a failure. Everyone's going to know that my business failed and it was my fault. And I could not take that. That was like the number one thing keeping me going. Because my mom was like, you guys, if you want to be done with this when the lease is over, that's fine. I never thought I would admit this, but there were many months that we would pay to like just be there.
Just to be there, just to keep the doors open.
Out of pocket, because there were some months that were so slow that we were literally paying to exist as a business. And it was at those points that we would sit down and have these conversations like, you guys, I won't be mad if we like, I think my mom and my sister both were like, I won't be mad if we like end it in 2 years. And I was like, no, like,
yeah,
I'm going to look like a failure. Even
people would talk about it for like 10 minutes and then move on and then not care.
But I think it was also how I felt. Like,
and we got so far.
Yeah, that's what it was. I was like, okay, we got so far. We did so much. I've given up 2 years of my life. The more we go, the more I was like going to be heartbroken if it ended, because it was a waste of time. It was like this. I put a pause on my schooling at this point. I was not going back to school because I couldn't. And I was like, I can't waste all my life. Like, I'll never get this time back. So I'm not going to waste it, you know?
I think mentally it was just the most exhausting thing, because you had this guilt feeling of, one, you had no option. You had to come home and work, you know, to get stuff done, because we weren't selling 500 bath bombs for that day, but we were selling 30 of them. And those 30 had to get made. Mm-hmm. And those who were waiting for it.
And there were comments. Making them, yeah, we were making them at such a smaller scale, too. And Okay, mind you, this was all before the social media took off. Yeah. So to paint the picture, we had like 4,000 followers. So do not even consider that.
Yeah,
this TikTok is just to be a local shop. Happen. No, TikTok didn't happen. Instagram didn't happen. Like, we were sitting pretty at 4,000 followers for like the first 2 years.
The 2 years go by. Lisa's done. We have maybe like 2 weeks to figure out what's next. They're like, are you going to renew or are you out of here? And obviously, like, oh, God, another fight happened.
Oh, the Urban deal happened.
Yes.
The first 2 years, come November, December, we were in the last few months of our lease. Okay, so
at this point, we have started a business. We've locally survived during COVID. Mm-hmm. We opened up a storefront, get our name out there. We had been carrying another local store. We got people's attention. And that's kind of what initially what the goal was, is to get people's attention and what we were doing. And holidays were great. People knew to come. And we had done local events and like, really, really
tried
guerrilla marketed our brand, and got the when the TikTok had a few, you know, maybe like 50,000, 100,000 at the time. Yeah. We had gotten the attention of the Urban Outfitters buyers and their beauty, and we had been in contact with them. They were interested in placing an order, like, we're interested, send us price lists, send us samples. That's kind of where we were at, and the lease was finishing up. And we're just like, fuck, like, what do?
We can't work out of our house, like, for an operation this big.
We couldn't. And what if they keep us, like, all year?
Mm-hmm.
So, fight, stress, argument, tears.
Which I now realize my mom had every right to, because,
yeah, for sure,
because she was paying out of pocket for a lot of, like, sometimes just existing again. Yeah. And I think she was like, I do not want to contribute any more money into this, like, mm-hmm. flop. Like, I'm sorry. Like, that's what it was. And I was like, please. Like, and she begged the realtor to let us stay for one more year. I was mm-hmm. like, 2 years is risky. Can we please just stay for one more year so we can figure out Urban? Maybe in this year we can grow our company. Because again, I was like, I didn't come this far just to come this far. Mm-hmm. Like, I have to stick it out.
Urban was a whole, like, another thing. It was beautiful in the beginning. It got tricky in the middle and it fizzled out. With their company going a different direction with all their beauty. So I did not take that personally. They got rid of every single small indie brand they had on their website, and they kept the mainstream crappy Mighty Patches, Loops face masks, like all that basic stuff that every store carries. So their loss. And then I had another big brand, another big retailer reach out. Everything went perfect. Send them the final invoice. Ghosted us, never responded. Still irritated about that one, but then that company had their big fallout last year and they got canceled on TikTok. Anyway, so again, blessing in disguise. So that last year was rough.
It was rough. I think at that point, because again,
the economy crashed.
Mm-hmm. Urban fizzled out. The other retailer didn't, like, it fizzled out as well. I think maybe like it was probably May, April. So half of the month, we had half of the lease left. My mom was so angry at us for begging her to stay, because at this point she was again like mainly paying.
And she was blamed Urban. Like, you know, Urban was our, yeah. was our why, mm-hmm. and it just didn't happen. Well, it happened a few times. But. Oh,
we were okay. I never mentioned this out loud, but we were literally contemplating just like closing the store and paying rent because it was more expensive to operate than to be there. And at this point we were like, so, like, I don't want to say dead, but it was just like, dang, like,
cherry on the top. Our AC didn't work. And they said that we were liable for the AC, which was insane. Yeah, that was a cherry on the top. That we were not going to replace or fix an AC unit that we were going to be leaving in a few months. So it was
summer, rough. To put it into perspective, summer is like the most dead time for so many businesses. Unless you're running an ice cream shop or a snow cone cafe, like, you... Summer is a little bit rough. So put it into perspective, dead summer, so many expenses to just be there. AC doesn't work. So it's like 95 degrees in this building and you have to be there every single day for hours. Even if nobody comes in, you have to be there for mm-hmm. hours. Holy crap, you guys, that was my downfall. That was my literal like existence. 13th reason. No, literally that was like my 13th, 14th and 15th reason. I was like, holy shit, what did I get myself into? I was so depressed.
That I could feel store. It. And I feel so bad for leaving you for
yeah,
it.
Susanna did end up leaving me, like, literally that last... You know, last
I just...
few months.
It was nothing, again, planned, but it was one of those things where I saw the opportunity, and I was like, you know what? I think this is going to be my graceful exit.
Yeah, she's like, before this thing crashes and burns, let me leave.
I said, whatever you guys are going to do in the next 6 months, you do you. Because literally my retailer didn't work out. My scaling it to be a huge thing didn't work out. Like
wholesale didn't work out. Yeah.
I'm like, I think I have given my all and my interest, and I like, I can give back my percentage of the company and we can kind of call it quits there. But I had left and I learned because of this business that, you know, my strengths are in retail and in sales and in marketing and the people and the advertising. And that's kind of what I wanted to flourish in. So the opportunity came, I took it. It was a full-time position. I kind of left you and you're like, I got it from here. Like, it's not anything I can't handle. And then maybe about 2 months of me being gone, you're like, something peaked. Like,
my prayers were answered.
Yeah, literally your everything just clicked. And not that I had regrets leaving, but I was like, oh, I can't help her. Like, now she's getting hundreds of online orders. The demand is insane. She cannot, she physically could not have kept up with the online orders, packing them all day long, that I had to come from my 9-to-5 job and go to the store in the evening and pack orders with her.
Which I'm still so appreciative of.
All night and on the weekends. And it was like, wow.
Like, yeah, the last 6 months of our lease. And I remember because when Susanna had left, I was a little upset when Susanna was like looking for jobs. And then when she got a job and I was like, what are you going to do about
this?
It
wasn't even a job. It was like a career.
Right.
And I was like, I just need this.
And I remember we had this little conversation at home and it ended in a little crying. Like, I was just like, so what? You're just going to leave? And Susanna was like, yeah, like the company's like not worth pursuing, keeping. Your lease is done in 6 months. You can go back to like your schooling and do what you want to do. Mom will go back to her business and like, it's fine. Like, we did what we needed to do. We proved what we needed to prove. It's done. And I was like, no, like, it cannot end there. Like, it's been 3 years again. I don't want to look like a failure. I've given 3 years of my life. And I was like, fine, like, I'm going to continue it. So after Susanna left, I talked to my mom and I was like, we need to like do this thing. At the time, the TikToks were slowly like picking up. And I told my mom, I have faith. I think TikTok Shop had come out at that point. And I was like, these people are selling 4,000 units of like body butters on here. Like, let's stay. Let's see what we can do. Let's profit off of TikTok. And so me and my mom were like this little dynamic duo. I think literally a month after Susanna left, I joined the creator program on TikTok and started monetizing my videos. And at the same time, my videos were doing so good that we eventually were able to pay all of our overhead expenses with just TikTok. So I was like, wow, like, we'll get through this year. And even if we don't sell anything, I'll be fine.
When you said, I'm going to get on the creator fund, I said, oh my God, don't. Because I know it's going to shadow ban you and you're going to get frustrated and you're going to be like stuck. It's going to be this dead end and you're done. Because that's what it was in the beginning. That's how the creator fund was for other people.
I'm telling you, I had a little epiphany. Like, one day I was like, I'm going to research into monetizing the videos. And I saw so many signs to do it. And people were showing me how much money they were making a month. And I was like, I have more subscribers than them. Like, I'm going to do this. And I'm so glad I did, because within a month, I was paying all of my expenses with TikTok. And it was at this point that I was like, even if the store doesn't do well, we're making money.
Yeah,
that's all I cared about at the time. And so Susanna wasn't there and it was me and my mom. But fortunately, when your videos are picking up on TikTok, you're reaching new customers and you're getting orders. And I opened up worldwide shipping and orders were coming in like crazy, to the point that me and my mom were packing orders all day. And it was like so frustrating to realize that we were paying retail space rent to come to the store to pack orders and not see people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at that point that I started resenting the store and I was like, I need to get out of here.
Yeah.
I do not want to be a local business. I do not want to be here.
I think when you started to, again, get your sales and your traction, you're kind of like blowing up in this way. I was like, okay, do I regret leaving? Should I go back?
Mm-hmm.
And I really had to talk to myself about that. And I realized, I'm like, no, it's not what I want to do. I loved it. It was fun. I got to go in with my mom and sister, pack online orders and make products. And like, it was a fun thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, I was like, this is not what I want to do. I only got to do a small percentage of my strengths. I could only give a small percentage of my strengths to the business. And I feel like, you know, when I was running it, I loved having the model shoots. I loved to do all the different products. I cared about packaging the website and all that. But you know, you kind of prove that you don't need any of that. You have the camera, you have your voiceover, you sell your products, you don't need the packaging, you don't need all that. And that got taken out of it. And I was like, huh, there really isn't, I can't contribute other than like physical labor, which I would help you guys pack orders or do whatever if you needed the help. But that's when I knew, okay, you know what? They're picking up, they're blowing up, and they're on this right path. And just the two of you, it just balanced out. It wasn't like two versus one.
Crowd, yeah.
Two versus one. Because we would do that.
we would, you know, you would side with me on the packaging and all this stuff. And I was at mom on this topic, and like, it was just never balanced. And I think once I took myself out of the equation, it just balanced out beautifully. And now it's just the two of you. And I'm happy that I found my calling at the exact same time your stuff was happening.
It was like, yeah, all perfect timing.
Yeah.
One thing that I will like not get over is when we started picking up on social media and everything, we announced that we were closing the store like 4 or 5 months later, and everybody took it as like a slap to the face. They were like, oh, like as soon as they started blowing up, they forgot all about like their local roots and they closed their store. Now they don't do pickups and all this stuff. Nobody was there for us the past 3 years that we were like struggling. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody came to support unless it was beneficial to them and they needed something last minute. And nobody was, you know, taking us in. Nobody was inviting us to things. We were like literally doing what we could locally, and we weren't getting, like, people were using us is what I'm trying to say. Like, I feel like everyone used us when they needed us. And then other than that, we were just left there to exist, and we had to pick up the pieces. We had to like keep ourselves afloat. So as soon as things started going good for us and I built like a following that really supported me, I obviously was going to choose them. And that killed everyone. Like, for me to choose the online aspect of it, all these local customers were butthurt about it. But I was like, you guys were not there for me in the several months that I had to pay to keep myself surviving. Like, I'm sorry, I'm going to go where the, not the, where their money is, but like
the demand.
I'm going to go where the demand is. Right.
That second year, we were 1 foot in, 1 foot out. And I had so much guilt to like just shut down. We had our few regulars who would come in, and I felt that guilt. That third year, there was none of that guilt.
Yes.
And people tried. And people really, really tried to get into our head and like wind their way and try to convince us.
Yes.
That third year, no, it didn't happen. That second year, yeah, we did renew because people had given us that pressure. But that third year,
I totally forgot about that. That second year that we were letting people know that, hey, maybe we're going to go like an online route. Everyone was like, no, we need you guys. Like, stay local. Don't go big. Like, don't go corporation on us. Like, we love you guys. All this stuff. That third year, the worst year that was for us in the store, nobody was there to like
people ever again.
Yeah, nobody was there to help us, only when they needed something. And so, yeah, picture this. December, we're letting everyone know we're going online. Same people whining about it. Boohoo. Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the looks, the questions, like, I had put out a little statement all over the store to be like, we're leaving in 26 days after Christmas. Like, bye. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
We're done.
So strong on that decision. And that's when everyone was like, so you're not going to do pickups? Can I come to your warehouse and pick stuff up? Like, I don't want to pay $5 to ship it. And I'm like, it's $5. Like, it's flat rate. I'll get it to you in a day. No, but like, you're here locally. I think local people have this set, like, because you're a quote small business, they have like the sense of entitlement that like you're locally, it's your business, like just do it. And that's my main reasoning for like being so excited to leave the local business scene and everything, because I think some people are just so entitled to your time, your like attention.
Let me count the people that that were shoppers in the store and continue to support us outside. Yes.
Two.
I can think of two people who shopped, who literally shopped during the store and after the store.
Right.
Maybe,
right.
I don't know. I don't look through all your orders.
No, I mean, I'll occasionally see a Fresno or a Clovis order, but the name doesn't ring a bell to me. And I know my regulars by heart. So I'm just like, okay, like, obviously you've probably felt the need to support my business when you thought it wasn't doing well. Now that it's doing well, you don't care to support it, which shows me that you were not supporting me personally. You were just like, I didn't want to be somebody's charity, you know? Like, I didn't want people to come in and shop to be like, they're a local business. Like, they're so cute. They make them themselves, like, so adorable.
Yeah.
I wanted people to just like the products and everything.
Okay. So anyways, I want to just kind of bring it back in. We wrapped up and I had been working my job and I had my epiphany moment and I was like, I know what I want to do. I know what direction I need to go now because of all that strength training that the 3 years that you had given me, I was ready for it. So we both go our separate ways, but like not really. And me going into my own thing, all the pressure, stress, and all my insecurities that I had with the first business just kind of followed me. And that's kind of one thing that I didn't think would, but I realized, okay, you know what? I do hold a lot of guilt when I am not working and all that talk and that prep that has been drilled into my mind.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of followed me here. And for you, your dynamic changed. Because now you left that retail space. Now you have your own private space. Mm-hmm. And God, did it feel so good.
No, it felt so good.
So once your environment changed, And now it was the first time you didn't have to work from home or, you know, take work home with you. And mm-hmm. you just had your space where you showed up, did the work, and left. How did that change for you?
Yes, incredibly.
But mentally, did it change?
Yeah, mentally, I felt at peace. I was like, wow, this is how, like, normal people live. Like, you go home and you're at home. You have mm-hmm. your weekends. You have, like, all this stuff. That was the one thing that I was missing, being in a retail space. And I think I credit that to, like, why I was so depressed. Because I, again, never said this out loud, but those past, like, 2 or 3 years were the most depressing and darkest point in my life. I was, like, my heaviest. My skin was trash. Everything about me, like, mentally, like, I didn't take care of myself. You were
confined in a cage, really. Yes,
that's what it was, but people can come in. And I remember every day having this fear, like, who's going to come in? Like, I didn't feel free. I didn't feel comfortable. I was so
depressed. There was no life balance.
Yeah, and I remember, and because a lot of the times you're sitting there, and a lot of people were, like, praising me at that time, like, oh, my God, like, you're living the dream. You know, you have your little shop.
Okay, let me ask you this. If things were going as good as they were today, would you feel the same way? If you came into work every day and you had a line at the door and you were busy every hour and selling out and you had all-in orders, like, do you think maybe your situation wasn't how you envisioned it, so it just felt like you were watching time go?
I think so. I mean, obviously, when I opened up the store, that was what I had in mind, and maybe when it wasn't that way is when I wanted out, give or take. But yeah, I think just being confined to that space, I think the free time killed me. You know, I spent a lot of my time on my phone watching everybody else live life while I was stuck in this thing. Weekends, I was stuck here while everybody was going out and doing whatever. Like, I was here. I could not leave. And I think maybe being confined is what I hated about it. Like, I love my office because I'm not confined. I can come whenever I want. I can leave whatever I want. I felt like I was literally in jail. Like, I could not do anything. And I think that's what made me so depressed. Again, so many people would tell me, like, you're living the life. Like, you have your own shop, you make your own schedule, you get to just chill on your phone all day. Like, you're living the life. No, it was horrible.
Can I be mean for a minute?
Mean to me or mean in general?
In general.
Okay, go for it.
Well, the reason why I wanted to share all of this and kind of just to wrap it up is because running a real business, and I'll take that with me to the grave. Like, sometimes when I see individuals make a business page and call it a business, and I don't see them putting the time and effort and energy into it, I don't take you seriously. And I honestly think it's almost offensive that I'm sorry, like,
that you share the same title as them.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, if I had seen that you had poured everything into it and you're consistent with it and I watch you grow, then that's different. I will never take those individuals seriously who just make the Instagram page and call it a business and don't follow through and don't put effort and time and consistency into it. It gives me the biggest ick. Like, I can think of hundreds of them, but if you want to be taken seriously, there has to be that dedication, that sacrifice you have to make. Even though we just complained about it, it still has to get done. No,
you can complain about it. It's totally worth complaining about. It's just something you have to do.
It just has to get done. So when I see these individuals start these pages saying, I'm going to start doing this, and you go, and I always go back and check, how far have you come? What have you done? Last post, 2023. No activity, no one's booked. You know, it's like, if I was going to start doing something and I got no bookings and I got no clients, that I wouldn't delete it and ignore the page and kind of stop. That would get me to fight harder to do it. And so when I see these individuals not fighting for their business, like, I can't. It gives me the biggest ick.
I know. Well, because I vent to my mom a lot. And I think I vented to her a few times. Like, ugh, I feel like I, like, lost a good amount because I was 20 when I started the store, like 20 to 23. You know, that's the early part of your like 20s. And I lost that all to my business. And my mom always tells me, like, look where you are today. Like, you had to make that sacrifice. You don't get there just by doing that and then going and hanging out all the time and doing whatever and then coming back to work. Like, you have to put it.
Take away what we did for a business. Take that out of the equation. The structure, discipline, and, like, the progress you made from doing this activity, this, like, job, is insane. Because I can, like, reference the person I am today is because of this business.
Yes.
My public speaking, my networking, my connections, my drive, my motivation, all of that comes back to this freaking bath bomb brand we started. Like, literally, it's so crazy to me, but it's, like, my biggest blessing that ever happened to me, and it was never in the game plan, like, at all. None of it was.
And at the same time, when you started it, you knew what it would be, and today you can say it's there, and now I can die in peace. If I close my business in 3 months, I died in peace. I knew that I finally got it to where I needed it to be, and I can be at peace with that. But let's just say, like, being a business owner, you give up a lot more than a paycheck. Like, you give up life.
That was a fun business talk, little vent session. But, like, it's a perspective. Like, you know, it's, I think being a business owner is a really high honor, high title to wear. And it bothers me when people, I know, do not put that time and effort into their business, into their hobby.
But it shows. You can see when someone doesn't put that time and effort. And in return, they get what they're, you know, businesses.
Yep. All right, ladies. Anyways, wrap that episode up. That was a good one. It was really good.
Yeah. I hope that this answered some questions maybe some people had.
Okay. Until next week.
Bye.